Okay, so when we look at Acharei Mos and Kedoshim, there's a number of, in fact, there's a lot of questions that come to mind. The most obvious being the Smichas HaParshias in two senses. First of all, the two Sedras themselves. We have to try to get the Chukai side before Shavuot. So certain Sedras we double up. And some are obvious, some of them are straightforward, they flow neatly from one to the other. But it's not always so obvious what Acharei Mos and Kedoshim exactly have to do with each other. They clearly share, there's one parasha they share in common, and that is the Arayos. You have the Azhari of the warning, the Issa in Acharei Mos, and then the punishment of the Oinshim in Kedoshim. And the depth of the clue, of course, is that, in fact, the opening of Kedoshim Tiyu. Rashi brings Chazal, Kedoshim means have a Purshim in our Rayas, in our Vera. So we feel there's something maybe that's something thematic, is something that's connecting the thing together. But as we look through the rest of the parasha, it's not obvious what's going on. Acharei Mos begins with the story with the Avodas Yom Kippurim, and this becomes our Leining on Yom Kippur, and interestingly enough, so does the Arayos in the afternoon, so maybe there's something going on. And in between we have the Surim of Shchuti Chutz, which in those days was in the fear of Yishmael, at least it's in Machlekes in the Gemara, but in those it could well have been that all the Achila of Basar in the Midbar had to be Kodshim, and therefore there was a total Issa Achila Shchuti Chutz, and the Torah uses a strong losh, and Dani Choshev is like a person with Shoytech Dam, like the murderer, a person who eats an animal, which at least Kodshim without doing it properly, but or Shchotichot, or Zrikas Damachot, or whatever it would be. And then we have the Issa of actually eating Dam, and then we go into the Arayos. And it seems not easy to understand the Smichas HaParshias. Bechlal in Parshas Kedoshim, which begins, Rashi points out, that it sounds like they made a They made a whole a koladas b'nei Yisrael. This was one of the times in the Torah where Moshe spoke directly to the whole of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Rov Gufei Torah Tluyim Bo, because Rov Gufei Torah are connected to Rov of the Dinim Torah are connected to it. And it's very interesting. It sometimes feels that way when you're reading the Sedra, we're just jumping from one inyan to another inyan, one mitzvah to another mitzvah. It's not possible to see what's going on, how one thing links to another. So I want to suggest some things based on the Rishonim and Acharonim, not my own Chiddushim, but to just put a few things together and see if we can at least get a some mahalach, at least the beginning and the aim. We don't have enough time to get a full mahalach, but in the aim of something that's threading it all together, and b, if we can understand at least some area of avodah that the Torah is trying to give us from this. Lo yamedrash ikar ha-maisa. So let's begin with Acharei Mos, Avodas Yom Kippurim, because the Avodas Yom Kippurim begins with a phrase, Acharei Mos Shnei Bnei Aharon. The context of it here is that it's after the death of Shnei Bnei Aharon, which Rashi points out, this is almost like the Torah is trying to emphasize, and it's like a doctor who says, you want to take a cure, I'll prove to you that you have to do it, because look what happens to this person who doesn't, look how dangerous this thing is, look at this, look what happens. What happens? They came close to Hashem, they went to Sinai Lifnim, they went into the and they died. So in that context now, don't just walk into the Kodesh, because if you do, you'll die. And then we say, this is how you come into the Beis HaMikdash. Which is amazing, because the Pashat Pshat, you would not realize that we were actually talking about Yom Kippur. In this Pashat, the Mashmaot is, don't just walk in there. There's something wrong with the way the Nodav and Aviyu, the Beis HaMikdash and the Ramah as a whole, Hilchas Beis HaMikdash. There's something wrong with the way this is how you do it. If you want to come into the Kodesh, well, this is how you do it. You have to have a Taran Mokar, you have to have all this stuff, you have to have a whole, that becomes Avodas Yom Kippurim, which is Mashma, that the Avodas Yom Kippurim is really designed so that we can go the Lifnai V'Lifnim. And then at the end of the whole discussion, the whole of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, then the Pesukim say that, So suddenly we discover that there's a chiyuv to do this whole procedure one day a year. And then we read, "Ki bayom hazeh yechapa aleichem letarachem mikolchat etzichem lepnei Hashem titaru." Shabbos Shabbos in Yilachem v'nisa v'tnash etzichem chukas olam. And that's it. We have four or five pesukim that suddenly tell us about Yom Kippur. But it comes at the end, which the mashmalot is, and this is the pshat, is that the Torah is telling you that this is not a chayk in Yom Kippurim. This is a din in how you go lifnai v'lifnim, and the time to go there is a day of potential kapara. Because as the pasuk says, that if we can get kapara on the mikdash itself, on the tumma of the mikdash itself, Klal Yisrael who on a physical level is kohenim where sometimes have betumma, b'shoik, whatever it may be, and they can be metame the mikdash themselves, and we need a day that can be machapa the beit hamikdash so that we can have kapara. We have all, but the point here seems to be that all of this parasha is helping us enter Lifnai V'Lifnim. Without the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the danger is if we want to go Lifnai V'Lifnim, we want to go to get this kapara, that it's going to be destructive, exactly as was with Nadav and Avihu. And therefore it's not surprising that the entire Avodas Yom HaKippurim is a replica, as the Ramban points out. Korban for Korban is an exact replica of the original Yom HaShmini. Of course, this parasha took place on the Yom HaShmini, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, the day when the Oyel Moed was finally left standing, and the day when Avodah began, and the day when everything, and the day when Nadav and Avihu died. And every Yom Kippur, when we want to go to Lifnai V'Lifnim, we repeat everything they did with one key exception. We even bring the Eish Zoron, and we bring the Ketorah, but the with one key exception. The Shnei Seirim, the most peculiar of all the korbanos that we are asked to bring in the Torah, and the Ramban sounds chas v'shalom in Molly Mikkel, but it sounds almost like an avodah zorah. We're taking a soil, a zogel, a goat. What's that mean? And that's a replica. And that, where does that come from? And amazingly, Chazal say an amazing thing. Everything Chazal says is amazing, but Chazal says something that's very surprising. Here. That this Shnei Seirim is the place of Nadav v'Avihu, and in fact it becomes halacha if a person would not have one year for whatever reason. Shnei Seirim wasn't so easy to get. Two goats are identical, look the same. Maybe what would they do? The halacha would be they'd read the parasha of Nadav and Avihu, which is amazing. Somehow these Shnei Seirim, which represent on some level Nadav and Avihu, are also what allow us to enter Lifnai V'Lifnim without suffering from what Nadav and Avihu suffered from. And therefore I want to just touch a little aside that I think opens up both Acharemos and after it some insight into Kedoshim too that comes from this. Because of course the Rishonim discuss at great length what is this mysterious Seir. And the Ramban says, I think it's the Ramban, says it's very strange. He says that he gives them a remiza that it's a ben shloshim v'sholosh, you know, a 33-year-old can get it. And I think it's Ibn Ezra, I forget which mission, says if you count 33 pesukim, we arrive at another sa'ir, and 33 pesukim later the sa'ir is, and this is the prophet says, v'loyiz b'cho'oida zivcheyem l'si'irim. They should no longer offer to the Seirim. The Seirim, as Rashi points out, is the Shadim, is the demons. The implication, therefore, of the Ramban is Kipshuta, as we understand, is that this Shnei Seirim has something to do with this. This Lazov Elizabeth, and if the Gemara says it more before even, and the Talmud of Eidah, and all the Chazal, that this is a Doron to the world, to Azazel. This is offering something. So Ramban says it's similar to the whole story with Yaakov and Esav, and he says, you know, Esav's called Seir, he's also called the goat, or the hairy one, or whatever he's called, and therefore, just like Yaakov offers him something, so it's almost like a bribe to confuse him, so we do the same thing. For the soil as other, but I wanna maybe take a slight namkut in understanding, regardless of this Ramban, it's really as follows. You see, Chazal point out this Azazel. There's a number of different shots and they're giving it, but what they point out in many places is Azazel is Aza v'Azael. Who is Aza and Azael? So Aza and Azael are two Malachim originally, that we've already met way back in the Torah, all the way back at the beginning. Because it says that in Bereishis, towards the end of the Sidra of Bereishis, Ve'ikiyechel Adam lo'ev apen Adam v'nois yiradu lahem, Ve'yir b'nei Elohim es b'nois Adam, or b'nei Elohim, Ki tovo teina, Ve'ikchu lahem noshim mikoy l'ashev acharu. And that creates the whole problem that leads to the Mabul. And Chazal say, what is this? The B'nai Elohim or B'nai Elohim. Rashi brings one chapter to the B'nai Asarim, it's the rule of the B'nai Elohim. But Dov Acher, you can almost read it as B'nai Elohim, and Asarim Elohim is Shlichus Hashem Mokoim. As Heim Hayim is Arvin Bohem. And Chazal elaborate, Rashi brings it to Gitzara. But Chazal say in specific, there were two Malachim, Azra and Azael. And they saw that all the terrible things that Adam was done, they came up with a time that the Malachim always coming up with Marinosh Kisis Karenu. I remember there's Midas Adin now, that potentially it could be a Mabul coming, but there's no Hashem coming to be Mabul. Well, no, Marinosh Kisis Karenu. And Hashem says to the Malachim, you think you could do better? And they say, yes, we could do better. Hashem is Moed, then puts them into a group of Bosa, or they puts them into a body. And all of a sudden, they become. They say that they the yikchula they see kitoyva zena. They say chazal d'shem. So b'suz v'yikchula noshim. They take people who already eishas ish. It becomes one thing after another. They just become this incredible koyach of taiva, and it ends up becoming starting with the b'suz and ending up with the eishas ish. And mikoyla shevacharu ends up becoming even zocha and zocha, and even with a behemoth, it becomes everything, and this just becomes this wild tiber that ends up becoming intertwined with the bnei adam themselves, and becomes the shoresh of the ra, this particular area of ra within us too, and then this is what it becomes. So this azan azayel in another chazal, the three of them, they have become this drive inside us, and the gemara says an amazing thing. It says, how does this doyon work? It says what happens is that on the Yom HaDin, the Katego is standing up then and the screen saying, here's he's about to open its mouth and start accusing Klal Yisrael. It says, Chazal says, the Gemara says that it's like a person standing in a court and they're about to be accused, and just before they get accused, the prosecutor's brought out all the files and, you know, got everything ready to start the speech, and all of a sudden the defendant himself pulls out an even bigger file and says, here are the terrible things I've done, and hands it over to the prosecution. So the Gemara says. And at that moment, the Katego is elated, the Seir, the Tumah is elated, the Sitra Achlad is with rejoicing, and says, wow, well, you know, thank you. Here we're, and all of a sudden, Hashem turns round and says, you see, you are saying you're acting the Shmi, the Lichvoidi, in fact, you're just there trying to destroy them. And that somehow wins the Din on Yom Kippur. Very strange. It's strange at first, until we understand, I'm not going to get to the tremendous amkas and the Zacharonim who elaborate. There's one Nakuda for us for now, that will help us with this. And the Nakuda is as follows. It's brought out in a number of Svarim. The Nakuda is as follows. What happens is like this. The drives, the problem, the Malachi Asharis themselves, when they come to Olam Hazeh, have a problem. And the problem is that Olam Hazeh is limitless. Olam Hazeh, no matter how much you have, there can always be more. And there's drives within us to have, and that's what it becomes. And even you take the greatest Malach, but you put them in a world of boss, the desire to have, and that comes from some legitimate roots. We need food, we need certain things, but it becomes possessive, and it becomes dominating, and it becomes all-encompassing, and what ends up happening is the human being gets destroyed by them. The Gimel Yom Kippurim is as follows. Is we feel inside us sometimes, person feels inside them that they have, you know, the conflict. There's the Torah on the one hand, and then there's my own wish I could have these things on the other hand. And then Yom Kippur, what suddenly becomes golly in front of us is that all those drives, that action, just came in to destroy us. All those things are things that will destroy us. All of a sudden, they're standing in the courtroom And all of a sudden, they're out to get us. Even when we want to be murdered, we say, hey, we want to start doing tshuva, here's our various. Suddenly, it's lynching, grabbing, trying to kill us. And this is the situation of the Seirim. This is the situation of the Azan Azazel within each person. This is the situation of what happens. That the person is captivated by the taiva, but its shayrish is deeper. It's the desire to possess things in this world, to own, to have power, control. And these things, the kina, the taiva, the kovah, the things that are married as Adam and Adam, the reason they're married as Adam and Adam is very simple, because there's no possibility of satisfying them. And the person becomes an avid to them. And they will destroy the person. They are the koyach of Azan Azazel, they're the koyach of gone wrong, they're the koyach, and that's what becomes. That munach built into each person is this challenge that somewhere deep inside us is the rotzen lishlit, the desire to control, and that desire can only destroy a person. There's no in between, there's no use of that desire, can only destroy the person. And in Yom Kippur, when a person suddenly gets clarity there, all of a sudden they're free. That's the one day where it can't touch us, and we take we do the vidui on the sire, and then we send it out, and it's gone. And we say we're willing to let go of all of this to have the freedom to be able to be ourselves again. And this of course becomes the key to how to enter Lifnai v'Lifnim without being destroyed by it. Why? Because the smallest me'ain of a me'ain, the smallest control desire, the smallest kina, taiva, kovod, the smallest amount of all, doesn't cause damage yet. But the closer and closer one gets to the Avonshah, the more damaging and dangerous it becomes. Similarly, in all relationships, by the way, the closer one gets to another person, the more the slightest desire for control, the more dangerous it gets. The more can be the borderline between ahava and something terrible. As Chazal say, well, the problem not of an Avi was there were Moisif Ahava al Ahava. There was a drive that was more powerful than Ahava that then ended up destroying them. And of course, that's why you see the amazing thing. When we go back to Nadav and Abihu, we see an unbelievable thing. Wherever we turn in Chazal, we see a different pshat in what they did wrong. The Torah doesn't tell us explicitly. So, the Medrash brings four possibilities. The Gemara in Erevin says, well, what's it mean? The Torah says they brought an Eish Zara, but it wasn't an Eish Zara. It's a chiyuv to bring that Eish. You have to bring an Eish Milamasa as well as an Eish Milamala. So, what was the Issa of Nadav and Abihu? So, the Gemara says they were Moira Alachokas Mei Rabbi. They didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's another Gemara that they weren't nimlach with each other. The Medrash brings that the idea they came stuya yayin. The Gemara brings that they came in drunk, and that's why the next parasha the Medrash elaborates. The next parasha is the parasha, or they didn't come in with washing their hands properly, or the Medrash brings two other malachim. One is they didn't consult with each other, and one is they couldn't find any noshim in the world who they could marry. And another one is that they, or another thing Chazal bring, which Rashi actually brings in Shemini as well, is that they said. They were saying, you know, when will Moshe and Aaron die that we can take their place? And the commonality to all of these is the same issue. It's the same issue. It's in a small level the rots and lishlut. It's a desire for control. It's something that's coming in that's not allowing them the proper covered of their incredible dealing with. You know, it doesn't mean to say, but on whatever level it is, the shorish is there's somewhere there's this un-let go of desire for something. So if it's that I want to move Moshe and Aaron, and it's almost a kinos of their position, or an inability to have proper relationship with anybody, or not coming with a proper cover to the mockum, but it's the same thing. And that becomes the danger. And therefore, the beginning of Acharei Moshe Bnei Aaron is that if a person wants to get close to Hashem, there's only one way to get close to Hashem. The closer you get, the more a person has to work deeply on attempting to realizing that this avoda to this Irim, and by the way, a sotir, the goat is the physical form of this, is an amazing moshel that Rabbi Nachman points out in the Amek Dava, that what a sotir is, a goat is an animal that's wild. It's basically the same as a sheep family, but a goat goes wild. Why? Because a goat rips apart its own environment, it rips apart its own world, and therefore keeps needing to move from place to place. Its taiva destroys it. It's destructive for itself, and this is why. And this is exactly what. And now you see the smicha of the parasha is beautiful, because what this means is that the next parasha tells us that when you're about to eat basar, you have to realize there's a bottom that's Kiddush, and then you could just be a toyev and just be an animal. And in fact, it's where Rashi himself is Doresh. The Rashi is Doresh of Ibeis quotes the Gemara in Chulim, which Rashi himself says. So the Torah is being Meramez in this fashion. I'm not going to show that in the Psukim because we only have a little bit of time left. But in the Psukim, Rashi shows that what's going on here with this whole is it can become murder. Killing an animal could just be an act of Shvichas Domim. That's exactly what it could be. Or it can be an act of Kedusha. And Shchut Echud, you take something that's supposed to be Kodesh, it's supposed to belong to the Mikdash, and you control it, you just use it as your own food, then that's it, and nothing. That's already, that's the way you've just done it, murdered, you just become it. That's why, because that's what it's a root of. That's exactly what it is. And Rashi learns, as I was about to say, Rashi is Dorish from me, I'm just trying to see if I find the exact prophet. Rashi says that, so it's an amazing, I mean, it's more or less the Perish in the Gemara in Chulim there, when there Rashi explains, and Peg Dalad, I think, that, here's what Rashi says. So it says, "Lema'a she'aviu b'nei Yisrael etzitchem ashe'en zirichom ha'p'nei Yisrael me'viu la'ashem ha'petach ha'omayed al-kayin dochus etzitchei shlom la'ashem ha'yisrom." And here in the Pesukim it says, "V'lo yizuchoy etzitchem nesirim ashe'en zirichom ha'chayim chukat alim t'yeh lachem ha'yisrom." That's and then it says, so I forget the words where Rashi is Doresh, I'm sorry, I do apologize to you, but Rashi is Doresh that a person, there it is, that is possibly here, just so that the Ish Mabnei Yisrael Min HaGarah Kor B'Sechem Sheyotzud Seid HaChaya Ois HaShayach V'Shovach Adon V'Chisor Ba'Ofa. So it refers to the double lotion of Yotzud Seid HaChaya Ois, that a person is hunting or trapping the animal. So Rashi here brings, he says, the second half of this drosh is that a person shouldn't just go eating bosa. And in Chulin Rashi elaborates and says, because a person just becomes a meat eater, will destroy himself. How? Well, again, the Poshup Shat back then is the Yazinu people who lived, their paranasa was their food, but this desire, this tremendous wild thing, they could just go wild and start eating their own supplies and just completely demolish themselves. But that's what this will do, that a person will be destroyed by all these drives. And this becomes, and the deepest, the most dangerous expression of this is that the rotzen lishloit goes is a person's taiva to control their very makar, the very thing that has brought them into the world. The person has a deep rooted expression of taiva, the taiva to control that which brought them into the world, and that becomes at worst the achnos of the knisa of nodav aviu into the snipe lifnim, the makar akol. And in the Arayos, it becomes the first of the Arayos, therefore, becomes Erebas Ovichav Eros Imechav Etzegala. I want to come back to this one in a moment. First, I want to just explain a little bit of what we see in Parashas Kedoshim, and then I want to show you something very fascinating about the two different Parashas Arayos that exactly bring out these points. Because Parashas Sidras Kedoshim, if you look, it's amazing. It's Rosh Kevar Torah Tulimba. You've got most of the, so much of the Torah is dependent on this. And what we end up suddenly having in Kedoshim, which we haven't had before, amazingly, many, many, many of the mitzvahs, it strikes us right at the beginning, we've already heard of before in the Torah, but they repeat it again. Now normally the order is first you have what's called the Nazara, first you have the Issa, and then you have the Einshin. But in this case, most of what we've seen before in the Torah has been the Einshin, the punishments, and now we get the Issurim, which is an interesting order. But of course what that means is something amazing. Up till now in the Torah, we've known if you hurt a person, you pay. You have to take a chrayas. You have to take a chrayas. But we have not learned that it is be'etzem also. In fact, this is the famous raid in the beginning of Bava Kamma, what's exactly the Issa of Nezikin, not so poshut. What it is it Kneva, is it not Kneva? But the point is, up till now in the Torah, we've had things like Mishpatim. If you hurt a person, you have ayin tachat ayin, you have to pay back. But now we start to get the fact that no, but it's actually Osa. Why? Because here what we're getting is Ashkop, and that's what a Menhara is. It's telling you it's wrong, but at them it's wrong. It doesn't matter, you've got to pay back. That's not the point. The point is not I shouldn't do it because I'll have to pay. The point is not I shouldn't do it because I've got to think of Christ what I do. The point is I shouldn't do it because it's wrong. And all of a sudden, mixed into all these mitzvahs which we're familiar with, a whole load of new mitzvahs that are Devarim HaMasurim Nalev. Because up till now in the Torah has been giving us very simple level of achrayus. If this damage is done, this is how you pay back. If a shofet sees this, this is what he's got to do. These are the divine agaluyim. These are things that Tzibur can take control. But in kedoshim, we're going to visit these no longer as achrayus, but actually as basic right and wrong. There's something. This belongs to the oni. You can't take it away from him. Lo siknov is actually an issa. Till now in the Torah, lo siknov has just been gnevus nefot. You can't steal a human being in the aseret hadibros. Now we have no. This belongs to him. We already know you've got to pay back, but paying back is not the point. It's actually wrong. This actually belongs to this person. And all of a sudden, built into this, we're dealing now with a fundamental attitude of what belongs where, what belongs to whom, what goes where. And suddenly all the Dvarim and Masurim and the Lev come out in this passage. Again, if we have time, we go through, but it can be Ma'ayan and the Rashi, and you'll see even the things that look like they're not this way, Rashi keeps being Dorish like they are. And this is amazing, what this is exactly what's going on. And then all of a sudden we have, of course, Kilayim and things like this, which are Chukim, but we know what they're saying is what goes with what and what doesn't go with what. And the whole of Kedoshim, at least the whole first parish of Stum of Kedoshim, I'm not, it's all about the understanding of what belongs where. The things and all the, it's our shkofa on the world, which of course is pshat in the word of kedusha itself, because kedushin to you, it's the Rashi end in the beginning of kedushin, it's in the beginning of kedushin. Even the loshon kedushin, when a person belongs to is kahektosh, but it means that the Tosafot says that asur in the whole world is awesome. That's why we use the loshon kedushin for erusin. Is that the kedusha means there's something special here. Nobody else in the world can have it. We belong to each other. There hasn't begun an issuin yet, but we're ready for each other. And so the parashas kedushin becomes a sedra of recognizing that kedusha in the world is the understanding of belonging. It's a world where things fit together, where if we do it correctly and we have a deep respect for that, that's the world of kedushin to you. And here comes a fascinating point, therefore, because when we look back at the Arayos and the two parashas Arayos, it lists the same exact list, and that's why the defense kind of, why couldn't have had them together? You could have many times they mix that parah, the lav, and then you have the Ayin Shem Yud. There are ways to reduce the number of pesukim by putting them together into the same parasha. But there's something very interesting in Acharemos. The emphasis is different. This I heard from a Rabbi Yishlan of Weinberg. There's a difference in the emphasis between the Arayos of the Eper and Kedoshim in Acharemos and the Arayos of the Eper and Kedoshim. Why? Because Acharemos and Kedoshim are two different pools that work together in Avodah Hashem. Acharemos is saying no, don't control. Acharemos is saying the closer one gets to one's makar, the more dangerous this is. That's what Acharemos is saying. Kedoshim is saying one has to realize that things belong, certain things belong to each other. How do they come together? They come together in Arayos, but they come in two different ways. Because in Acharemos, what we focus on, the first of the Arayos, is dealing with literally the Erevah, the She'er Bosa, that which is related to you. The starting with Kol She'er Basorai, this is the opening Bosa, this is like Gedoma in Acharemos Arayos, that it's too close. Lo Sikru Legalis Erevah Ani Hashem, Erevah Tavicha Be'etimecha, don't go back to the Makar. Don't go back to the Makar. And the Rabban asked the kasha. It's amazing. These arayos are not obvious. These arayos are ones that are embarrassing. So at least when it comes to sisters and brothers, this would make sense. But the Torah is telling you no. There's no. That's exactly the wrong place for the time. That's exactly where shlita becomes incredible. That's exactly the desire to control one's own shroshim, and the desire to the inability to recognize. And this is the real shovish over here. The inability to let go and to recognize that one has to leave the shosh and become oneself. One cannot control that which is given us. One cannot control that which is around us. One has to leave that and become oneself. The difference between panim and chutz, and this becomes the essence of Arayos over here. And it goes in order. First, what's parentally related. Then it becomes the achos. Everyone who's related through common ancestry, the Erevas Achoyscha or Achoyzavicha, and then it becomes in-laws, and it's moving in concentric circles from inward outward, and then we get to the other issues of Arayos of marriages of the in-laws, and then eventually even Eishadish and Nidan, and then things aren't even relations like that at all, and Mishka Zachor and Behemoth, all these things outwards like that. Whereas in Kedoshim, what's the order? Amazingly, the order is almost completely reversed. The order in Kedoshim is the sense of the problem of Arias in terms of something cannot possibly be for me. What's the thing that obviously can't possibly be for me? Somebody who's already designated for somebody else. First in the order of Kedoshim, the emphasis is on Eishes Ish. I can't have Eishes for someone else. That's what Kedusha is. The recognition of what's for what in the world. The recognition things belong. This is wrong because this belongs. And Eishes Ish becomes the focal point. And the marriages become first. And only and the things that cannot be Zohar and all that cannot be for me because a Zohar cannot be for a Zohar. And the things that is misplacing the sense of belonging and integration and Yichud and all, that becomes the sense in Acharei Mezeh. Only afterwards do we deal with the Arayas in terms of our relatives. That was much more to say. This, by the way, explains an amazing final thing in Kedoshim, which is why there's so much emphasis on over the Yedoni and the Molech. You know, of all Hilchos Avodah Zarah, it gets repeated three times in Kedoshim, which is amazing. We're constantly going on the Yedoni. That's the worst of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Correct. There's much worse Avodah Zarah in terms of the ownership. Elamai, the difference is like this, that in the over the Yedoni, and worst of all in the Molech, a person is committing themselves to Avodah Zarah. In the Ovni, that whatever they tell me, that becomes what guides me. In Molech, it's literally being Moisazak. It's giving oneself over. You know what all this is saying? Somebody in a single line. Kedoshim Tiyu. Prushim in our eyes, min Avera. The Kedusha. Kedusha means we belong, things belong in their place. And the deepest Kedusha of all is that we belong to the Rosh. The deepest condition of all is that a person has to live with the consciousness of we belong to Hashem. So Acharemos is teaching us an amazing thing. Acharemos is teaching us that we have to realize the rots and nishleit is the most dangerous thing of all. The closer we get to Hashem, the more this is. The more dangerous it can be, and the closer we go within our family, this can be dangerous. But a person who can rid themselves of shlita is ready for the next step, which is Kedusha. And Kedusha is a sense that things, it's not a matter I've got to take responsibility for what I do wrong in the world. It's that things are right and wrong because things belong together. And deepest of all, the final gilui at the end of the Seder of Kedoshim, or the second last pasuk before that, we repeat again that the Oven the Yidoni, of course, the second last pasuk therefore in Kedoshim is that the Yisem Li Kedoshim Ki Kedoshim Li Hashem, the way the Seder began, you've got to be Kedosh for me, says Hashem, you've got to be Miyuchad to me. A Jew has to see themselves that I walk this world with a specialness. I was built for the Rebbeinu Shalom because the Rebbeinu Shalom has built himself for me at the Lashon and the Medrash. So Avdila Semina Anim Li Yosli, and don't ever commit yourself to anything else. And that becomes at least a Pesach to understanding how Acharemos and Kedoshim are structured, and hopefully a Pesach to understanding the deep Hashkofa that we're meant to have on life that becomes the essence of these two surgeries. Gadal, Gadal, Shemai Rabu, Yom Yubi.